Okay, so we're doing, we're continuing. The next Gemara says, four lines on the bottom on Tezvav and Mabe, Zomar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon. So the first statement of Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, was that you could spend a lot of money on Shabbos and Yontif, and borrow money and God will pay you back.
Is that Tezvav and Mabe?
Yeah, Tezvav. So that's the first statement. Now he has another statement. The person wants it that his properties, his fields, will have kiyum, will last. He should plant in it an adar. An adar tree. What's it called in English? Anyone?
Spanish juniper?
Spanish juniper. Spanish juniper tree.
I think.
We think. Okay, let's see why. What's so good? Shenemar Adir Bamarom Hashem. Okay, let's see Rashi's. So Shishkaim Lo Nechasa. Shelo Yehadim Chomsam. It goes also this way. So that a person won't, no one will steal your fields. So if you want it, that nobody will steal your fields, what do? Need to be another. Ilan Chashavu. It's a very special tree. It's a Chashavu tree. Right? Yeshlo Shem. Lemerachad. It has a name, a status, from far away. The Omrim. And they say, Ploni Yisro Adar V'Sadehu. So-and-so has an Adar tree in his field. And we talk Kach, and because of this rumor, this word that gets around, Kachi Nikres Ashmel. I'm sorry, Kachi Nikres Ashmel. So therefore, the field is going to be called by his name. The tree is going to be called by his name. And if he goes out of town, and someone else comes in, like tries to squat on his field, take over, you have many witnesses that it was his, because everyone knows that so and so's other tree. And if he would have sold it, then there would have been another, there would have been well known that it was sold, so that everyone will know to call it by the other guy. Yeah, some fancy mansion and whatever. So everyone knows whose it is. It's called, that's some Michael Jackson's mansion or something. You buy it, everyone's going to know, you're buying Michael Jackson's, change the name or whatever. There's something which is like, it's a well-known thing, everyone knows it. So you're not going to be able to steal it from you. Shenemar Adir Baruch Hashem, Kolomar Sha'adar Lashon Kiyam V'chozak. L'kach Negadar. So Adir is a strong one, or lasting one, V'amarom in the heavens is Hashem. So you see, Lashon Adar is refers to strength. See one second. Inami Idra Kishme. Okay, either that's one reason why Adar means that, or Adar is like its name. Because Amri Inchi, my Adra the Kaime Ladari Dari. Adra Dar is a generation. So it's Kishme, Kishmoshim, Mefarshim, Bnei Adam Eshmo. People call it, explain why is it called an Adar? Because it lasts for the Dar every many generations. So he's saying, term Adar either refers to it because it has kiyum, it has strength, or because it lasts for many generations. But either way, it's saying is that if a person wants to make sure that his fields aren't stolen, plant an Adar. So he's giving us a good advice here, right? Good advice. If you're a farmer, you're worried about, when you go out of town, someone stealing your land, this is what you should do. Plant an Adar tree. So Rabbi Yochanan, the name of Shemoza, tells us two things. One is that you can borrow money for a Shabbos, and God will pay you back. Another thing is some sound business advice that if you want to plant your other tree, you want to have a good field and no one steals, then plant another tree. Okay. Any questions? Okay. Tani Nami, the Gemara continues. It says, Sada Shiesh Ba'adar, a field which has another tree, in an exelas, isn't going to be stolen, in an echmasas, and isn't also going to be a different type of stealing. The guy who takes it, basically. Rashi, Chamsam, you have the male, so he'll have the koach. He's cold. So it's a guy, Chamsam is a guy who basically forces you to sell it. He comes to you with, by pressure. He'll pay for it, but he'll force you to sell it. So since it's going to be a well-known thing, so also you'll be able to bring the bezdin. Right? It's like, basically the point is that once it's well-known, it's going to be easier to do it, to take care of any of these things. So it says, the Gemara is saying is that if it's a field which has another tree, it's going to be stolen, or this thing, or chamtuch, or chalmas. Rashi says, I don't know what that means, right? Because I understand these, those things, but how's that going to affect the growth of the fruits?
Yesh mefarshim shenotin also al hagvulim. Yesh on enough mahabeh who lets study together. Meaning, some say it's like a big, it's like a good fence around your field because that's a lot of branches. So basically, the other pshat is that it's like some sort of a pesticide, like the fruits of the thing are some sort of a grass that basically keeps away the bugs. Smells a certain type of way, kills the bugs. So whatever, apparently this thing is, besides for the fact that it has a big name, it also has certain properties which are going to help protect its fruits. Either it's like on the boundary, so it makes like a wall so people can't get through, or it's a pesticide, whatever it is. Okay, so that's a further thing. But just saying, he's keeping the brisa, but this is also true.
Is this
daft
about the tree?
The other tree.
Yeah.
A certain type of tree.
Why can't she be some other kind of
Oh, yeah, I guess in a Hanami, it could be in a modern day society. I doubt that the other tree is going to work. Presumably, it's going to vary per society. But the saying is, in that society, that's what worked. So, I mean, instead of them just saying plant something which is,
But, well, I mean, what is it? Stuff because it's like immobile, like it's in the ground or something?
I would think so. I mean, it has to be something which people aren't going to be able to move. If the thief is going to be able to just move it away, it's not going to work that well.
So what, just have like a 5-ton block of concrete with your name carved in it on
the top? Yeah, I don't know, whatever, work out your own thing.
But how does that stop anyone from stealing from you? Because they won't take dafka that tree, but they'll take your other stuff.
No, but the field, will be known as your field. And it'll be, everyone will know, that's the house of so-and-so. The house of the 5-ton thing or whatever, that's just his house. Now if you go out of town and someone tries to squat in your house, they'll be like, oh, what's he doing in so-and-so's house, So it's like, you make a unique feature to your house or to your property in a way that it's going to get a good name. And then, if you just have a no-name field, so some random guy's going to squat in your field and no one's going to know the difference. Look, there are a billion fields out there. How are you supposed to know whose field it is? Like, a house is already different because a house is a house. And everyone knows what houses look like. They're all look different. But a field is a field. So you have one cornfield, you've seen 1,000 cornfields. They're all the same thing. So how are you going to know? So, oh, you took my cornfield, huh? You go around the neighborhood, see, wasn't this my cornfield? Like, I don't know. I guess you had some cornfield somewhere. But if that was, I'm the other guy, Mr. Other, cornfield other guy, right? So everyone's going to know. So it's going to work out to protect yourself. And I guess it's true. You know, so maybe if you go cut down the tree. But first of all, there'll be a big stump. Others make huge stumps, But it could be that people will say is that, hey, this guy stole my field. And the proof is that everyone knows. Remember last year everyone was saying, hey, John has the other tree in his backyard. Look, there's no other tree here. What happened to it? This guy stole it and knocked down the field. Who cuts down the other trees? The only guy who cuts down the other trees, the guy who's trying to cover something up. It's a chashuv tree. It's a good idea. It's a good advice. It's, and you have to come up with a good one in modern society if what the problem is and what the solution is. But, it's interesting, right? So the question is I guess what's it's a funny kind of a Gemara here, right? I mean, is it just like a business advice? Like if the Gemara was written today, would it tell you which stocks to invest in? It sounds like you want to invest money, so. Take a stock that's well known, has good yield, good dividends have been strong for a certain amount of years and whatever. Like that's what it sounds like, right? I mean, just giving you're a farmer and you're worried about your long-term success, right? And you're worried about people stealing from you, so it's giving you advice. Okay, so look, I mean, it's interesting. It's really interesting. But it's kind of strange to be in a Gemara, I think. I'm not sure. I mean, I can't say I know that well all Gemaras, how often Gemara does something like this. But it seems interesting. And it also doesn't sound like it has anything to do with this, although the only thing it does have to do with it is the same guy, same person who said this to the Shita, Rav Yochanan and Yerushalayim ben Elazar, which Gemaras do from time to time. But is it related at all to what we're doing? It's like stuck also right in the middle. It says, this statement is that basically spend a lot of money on Shabbos, then it has this statement about planting another tree, and then it goes back to the Shabbos thing, right? Because it says that all your money is set for you, except for the Shabbos Niyotov stuff. So, I mean, it's really thrown in here in the middle. So it's kind of strange. Okay, so maybe like this is on the path here that Matt's starting with. If you remember what we did last time, and this is a question which bothered us a little bit last time, is what we're saying is like you could spend money for Shabbos Niyotov because there's Ashkacha, right? you know, Zashkacha. That's basically what we did last time, right? That there's a special din for your Tzoros, Shabbos, and Yantav. Special din. So so we said, it's like, it sounds like a very frum type of mentality, right? Like an idea, it's like kind of almost like you're aligned to miracles, or right? Just sounds like not the type of thing that we normally do, you know? But we explained that it's based upon the fact that the Schar V'Onesh is of your din, and Dinei Momonos is of your monetary, you know, your Mazonos is fixed, but this is not fixed, and it's really variable din. So therefore, it's not built into your other, you know, your other framework of din, you know, your other monetary din. But it could be that if a person reads that Gemara, they may come off with the idea that Rabbi Shimon Lazar or Lazar Shimon is like just has an attitude of like the standard from attitude is basically just sit back and let God take care of everything. You know, that is a type of an attitude that a person could have. Is that basically just don't worry about anything, just have a bitachon and everything will work out. Kind of thing, spend money on Shabbos Yontif, don't worry about it. You basically have a certain type of an arrogance or a feeling of specialness that God just takes care of you, is looking over you and all that type of thing, you know? Now, I think is like that type of an attitude is leads a guy not to get an adultery. Okay? And there's a certain type of a complacency that a person has. Like you said, it's true that some people feel like things don't happen to them. Nah, there's robberies, it's not going to happen to me. You know, that's true. But some people do worry about that. But I think there's a particularly, that type of an attitude is prone in a person who's religious or a person who feels like God's on his side, you know? And he feels like the type of things that happen once in a while, and it happens to the bums, to whatever, to, you know, it's not going to happen to me because I'm, after all, God's not going to let that happen to me. That's like a terrible thing. Those types of things, that, you know, a person feels as if those are the types of things that happen to other people who aren't in with God. You know, and a religious person oftentimes doesn't have to, you know, could, you know, he may work or whatever, but he kind of feels like a certain type of immunity against these types of pitfalls and tragedies of life. But what it's showing you is that's not true. Is that even though Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Shimon is saying is that you could spend money on Shabbos and Yontif, he's not telling you to be a fool when it comes to money. And just to be stupid and don't worry about anything because God's going to take care of you. That's not what he's saying. On the contrary, you have to be intelligent with regard to money. And I guess what Sammy says is true also, is that even though you have a din and it's fixed, the amount of money you're going to make, it doesn't mean if you're a fool. So if your amount of money you're going to make means that all the forces are in play, all the laws are set up, that you'll be able to get a certain amount of money. But it doesn't mean if you don't go to work, you're not going to get you're going to make that amount of money. If you just sit around and do nothing, or you don't take hold of opportunities that come your way, nor does it mean if you decide not to plant another tree when you should have, then also you're just not intelligent about it. You have to have foresight. And I think like a modern day, to me, a modern day version of this would be like insurance. Like homeowner's insurance. You know, fire insurance, health insurance, you know, those types of things. Is that basically, you know, what do you need fire insurance? Or how homeowner's insurance? It's a few $100 or whatever it is that you're spending a year, or $1,000, whatever it is. And it's like annoying. Like, what do you get out of it? Nothing. But what you get out of it is that when you're burglarized or you have a fire, then basically you could lose. I mean, you go bankrupt on something like that. You lose so much money from something, you know? So, but a person kind of feels, oftentimes a person could feel like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's not going to happen to me. I don't have to worry about that thing. You know, God will take care of me. Someone told me there's actually a position, some religious people hold that way, that you shouldn't get insurance. It's just a God. You've heard of that? You've heard of it?
I haven't heard of it. I can definitely see how
yeah.
It would be possible.
Yeah, someone told me there's a sheet like that. Yeah, someone quoted a sheet or something, whatever. I don't know, whatever. So the point is that a person could feel like insurance is for people who have tragedies or have these types of things, but it's not me, you know. But its saying is that when it comes to their money, the Rav Elazar ben Shimon does not hold you, you could just drop your rationality. On the contrary, you have to be rational, and you have to consider is that although these things aren't that common, but they're the kind of thing that could bankrupt you, they could really put you at an end. I mean, that's the idea of insurance. I mean, it's true, the odds of it happening are low, but what are you going to do if it does? You know, so if you have something which is going to bankrupt you if it happens, you got to be somehow protected against that. I mean, if you have a field, and this is your field, and now someone's going to just take it, what are you going to do? You gotta now. It's annoying to plant another tree and this and that and all that. But bottom line is you gotta protect yourself. for those unfortunate things. So it could be it's showing you is that you have to be in tether. Like, that's why I think it is related to that, that exercise thing you're talking about, you know. But it's like you have to be able to think in terms of the long term. And the short-term tircha is for the long-term possibilities that may or may not happen. The person has to be willing to put out for those types of things because they have to consider. They can't have a feeling. That feeling that something's not going to happen to me because I'm me is a false idea. And look, people feel that way because they're just egocentric or because they're religious. I mean, either way. I mean, the people who aren't religious also feel that way. You know, but religion, I think, oftentimes caters to that, or this type of an attitude, which it sounds like he's supporting, is basically spend money on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and don't worry about it. You know, so the saying is that he's not saying take on the emotional attitude of God will take care of me. That's not what he's holding. It's true. He's saying a Shabbos and Yom Tov is a thought out thing. It's based upon the principle about the gzar din of your food. And the fact that apparently he has Masorah or whatever it is, that the din for Shabbos and Yom Tov and your money for mitzvah is not fixed and it's variable and it's a rolling din. But it doesn't mean, he's saying, now you could just become play into that emotion of just being dependent and reliant on God. That's not true. You can't go, well, you can't just say, it sounds like the emotion of spending a lot of money on Shabbos and Yom Tov is emotion of religiosity, therefore I'll just do that on every monetary thing. There's no halacha that it says that if you don't plant another tree, then God will protect you. There's no chazal like that. There's no anything like that. It's on the contrary. God doesn't protect the guy who does a stupid thing. This is not a stupid thing. It's based upon what we talked about last time. So it could be it's like, those of Shimon had these two statements that went together, to so to speak, to keep in mind what his statement is and is not saying. He's not just, you know, the Gemara is not just bringing it down in a way which sounds like he's just being religious. You know, but it points to the way he says it points to the right idea.